recession yet. Plenty of other forecasters are.
So can we really say the American economy has reached the dreaded R?
No one's whispering about the R word anymore. Now, they just come right out and say it.
The probabilities of a recession have moved toward
a recession.
Risks of recession.
America's booming recession.
The U.S. economy will slip into recession this year.
I think they think the government has failed them. Failed them. Failed them.
This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN FM Online, Rogers Cable Box 947. The shows, the Rude Awakening shows that I do are streaming at archive.org or for download at archive.org or radio, the number 4, and then all.net, radio4all.net. You can also see links by around 8 a.m. at blackkrishna.blogspot.com. And you can also email me if you have any questions. Blackkrishna, BlackKrishna at gmail.com. Because... recession, everybody broke. And you know, the recession is kind of funny. You will get people casually referring to it when it suits their purposes. I'm noticing some news articles out there where companies are saying, yeah, you know, due to the recession, we're not making any major investments right now. Or I was reading some articles on possible foreign telecom ownership in Canada. And they were just saying, yeah, during this recession, it's tough to tough to advocate spending money. And yet we were also told that we were heading into a recovery. So what exactly is going on out there? Well, the truth is the fundamentals of the financial system through traditional economics, are the fundamentals of the economics according to traditional economics are crap, which basically means that systemically too much debt has been accrued by all the countries in the world to possibly pay back to the central banks of the world that loaned them this money. Now, the problem is, of course, that this is a fiat monetary system. This was initially an act of fraud by the central banking cabal that runs the world, essentially known as the New World Order. Having a little fun with the 50 Cent track, Crime Wave. Started off with Young Jeezy's The Recession from the summer of 2008, just to break down what's going on today. We got clues everywhere, folks. We got clues. We got Gnarls Barkley's Crazy from a couple years ago, reminding us to wake up, and a great interview in Herb, URB magazine, who gave Gnarls Barkley Artist of the Year. Had Gnarls Barkley, CeeLo, and I think Danger Mouse. Is that who's with? I think CeeLo and Danger Mouse. But either way, CeeLo Green says, you know what, I feel like I took the red pill and I'm out of the matrix. Now it's my responsibility to pull other people out. And that's what I feel too. Here is your radio host on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Here on CKLN Radio, Black Christian, a.k.a. BK, my colleague JD. We're fans of little quick two-name introductions here at CKLN to some degree. My colleague JD hosts on Wednesdays and Fridays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., so do tune in for that. We try and give you a breakdown of what's happening, the latest in the news you need to know. So what do you need to know? Well, we got the Metro here for the 8th of March. It says here, wear the pants. Wear the pants. Dockers. Dockers.ca is the cover of the Metro. It's all black, and then the red letters, wear the pants. And then the Dockers name, logo, I guess, and an anchor logo. Unbelievable. So we got fascist jeans ads. And on the inside here, it says here, wear the pants. Once upon a time, men wore the pants and wore them well. Women rarely had to open doors, and little old ladies never crossed the street alone. Man, I'm on this kick. I'm on this be a man kick. Ah, geez, the Obama guys took change from Luke Radowski and the We Are Change guys. Dockers is taking this crap from me. I'm saying be a man, and they're co-opting our... It's driving me nuts, folks. Driving me absolutely nuts. But, all right, reading the Metro here, the cover sheet is a Dockers ad. Wear the pants. In the back, it says khaki diem. Khaki diem. Seize the khaki, I guess. But I'm going to read this Dockers ad just to show you how they mess with our minds, at least as I perceive it. Once upon a time, men wore the pants and wore them well. Women rarely had to open doors, and little old ladies never crossed the street alone. Men took charge because that's what they did. But somewhere along the way, the world decided no longer needed men. Disco by disco, latte by foamy non-fat latte, men were stripped of their khakis and left stranded on the road between boyhood and androgyny. But today, there are questions our genderless society has no answers for. The world sits idly by as cities crumble, children misbehave, and those little old ladies remain on one side of the street. For the first time since Bad Guys, we need heroes. We need grown-ups. We need men to put down the plastic fork, step away from the salad bar, and untie the world from the tracks of complacency. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to answer the call of manhood. It's time to wear the pants in block capital letters. Courtesy of this Dockers ad. So yeah, no, it's an inspirational message. They say all the right things. It's just that their solution is wearing the pants. And I'm afraid that the Dockers jeans company doesn't necessarily mean the metaphor. Or, you know, if they do mean the metaphor, I'm not sure how much they're going to reinforce that. But if they did care about everything they said they did in this Dockers ad, then it's entirely possible that they would advocate that people agitate on topics like 9/11 truth, exposing the war on terror is a lie that's killed 1.5 million Iraqis approximately so far, displaced millions of others, and of course injured millions of others, Afghanis, people around the world, us at the airports, us with the naked, you know, body scanners frying us with radiation when a magic wand could do just fine, which is what they use on the kids because it's illegal in many cases to photograph kids naked. So they say, all right, you little 14-year-old kid, get over here, we'll use the wand. It's like, wait a minute, the wand works on him, why wouldn't it work on me? Why do I got to be nakedly body scanned? So, you know, these guys, and there's so many people out there, there's companies like The Gap that say it starts with good genes, G-E-A-N-S, and that's The Gap ad, and they have a couple of giant baby pictures in the windows there. It starts with good genes, definitely an illusion, potentially, possibly, you're speculating. Once you have an idea of who runs the world, then you start looking at the world, you go, oh, it might be them. You know, tying into the idea of eugenics and good genes and designer babies and all the other things that we've been so sold recently, so amusing stuff there. But with respect to 9/11 Truth, going to stick with that for a second, because huge new development has taken place. Going to let Alex Jones, the quote-unquote father of the 9/11 Truth movement, many degrees, just because he's the guy who's done the most to promote it. There were guys, Thierry Meyssan, French journalist, right after 9/11, released a book, basically talking about the mystery of the Pentagon. I'm wondering about what happened with the hole in the Pentagon. Well, it was only 15 to 20 feet wide. Certainly not large enough for a jumbo jet to have crashed in there, as alleged. But the latest on 9/11 Truth is Pentagon shooting. Now everyone's a terrorist. Or the article that I sent out yesterday from Infowars.com. Tell us suits like we mobsters. Break down keys in the dimes and sell them like gobstoppers. Who gon' stop us? Not a goddamn one of ya. Mean with the re-up, nigga, we street tumblers. Ivory white, yeah, that's the same color of a Zord, nigga. Best believe it's the Mulliner. Take no prisoners. Rap niggas are whisperers. Choke on your own spit just as soon as you mention us. Champagne corks is kicked by Louis Sportson. Keep my hoes and push. And we're back. As predicted, Pentagon shooting blamed on 9/11 Truth. So they got this guy, this patsy here. I'll read the article here. Paul Joseph Watson, Friday, March 5th, 2010. Just 2 days after we warned of false flag domestic attacks that would be blamed on the federal government's political adversaries were all but inevitable, a Californian man attacked the Pentagon last night in a shooting that wounded two police officers and has since then been blamed on John Patrick Bedell's advocacy for 9/11 Truth. On Wednesday, we explained how a Southern Poverty Law Center report, which demonized We Are Change 9/11 Truth organizations in the same breath as violent racist skinhead groups, was part of a preparatory setup for violent domestic acts that we blamed on anti-government extremists. And now they're making fake Al-Qaeda videos that tie into this and so on. So, but I do have a clip here from the Alex Jones radio show from Mr. Alex Jones talking about these. And this is from his radio show just yesterday, Sunday, March 7th, 2010, because he was invited on the Geraldo, on Geraldo's Fox News show. I don't think it was the Geraldo Rivera show anymore. But he was invited on Alex Jones or on Fox, on a Fox News show with Geraldo, where Geraldo basically said, So, what do you guys think now? Now you truthers are killing people. What do you think now? Jones has a very, very interesting answer for this. I'm going to let him break that down for you, because this is important, folks. This is very, very important. 9/11 Truth is and has been for some time now, as I recognize, the kill switch on the Empire's Death Star. And that is, if we blow open 9/11 Truth to the point where everybody knows it, then the government can no longer stage false flag terror, and to a lesser extent can no longer stage crises anymore. Every time something goes down, we'll think, whoa, 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 you guys were in charge. How come you didn't see this coming? You're taking millions, billions, trillions of dollars to keep us safe, and all we ever do is feel more paranoid. What's going on here? And so 9/11 Truth is the kill switch in the Death Star. By that I mean Star Wars. Remember the first Star Wars? The Death Star is almost complete. This giant planet-sized ship of destruction, a battleship of destruction for the evil Empire. And Luke Skywalker, a.k.a. Luke Radowski, but Luke Skywalker in the 1977 Star Wars movie gets the tip that there's one spot in the Death Star that is yet to be complete, one spot that is not impermeable to attack and impervious to attack, and that is this little kill switch, this little area where if he hits it just right with the just right missiles, then the whole thing will explode. And 9/11 Truth to a large degree works that way. It's not a left or right issue. It's not about attacking anybody. It really is about understanding the historic role of governments in staging false flag terror attacks. Something that the movie Terror Storm by Alex Jones, which goes through the history of declassified false flag terrorism from as recently as Operation Gladio in Europe, where they killed a bunch of Europeans and blamed it on the communists in order to justify a NATO presence there in the 80s, early 80s. Tons and tons of examples of this. But again, the Alex Jones radio show from the 7th of March, 2010, just yesterday, with him talking about the latest demonization of 9/11 Truth, how it's being done, and what we can do about it.
Here's another big tip-off. Within 1 hour and 5 minutes of the shooting at the Pentagon Thursday night, it was on national news, Times of London, you name it, that he was a 9/11 truther. Why are they after 9/11 truth? Why are they immediately coming out and blaming 9/11 truth? How did they discover that so quickly? In a normal investigation, there's no way that would happen for even 12 hours to 24 hours. And now it's all over the news. And Fox invites me on. People say, well, why'd they invite you on? To say, I knew what Geraldo was going to say before I even went on. Well, this discredits 9/11 truth, doesn't it, Mr. Jones? What are you going to do now? And that's exactly what he did. So I just laid out the fact that the majority of Americans, depending on the poll, 36% to 84%, and it runs the gamut, but on average it's over 60%, in national polls believe we're being lied to about the official story of 9/11. Just Google majority of Americans believe 9/11 cover-up, and you'll get all the different polls. And that's what they did on the show. And then I laid out real examples of stage terror or stage provocations for war. And his guest host said, how dare you make these allegations? What's your proof? And Geraldo had to say, well, actually, it is true that Gulf of Tonkin was staged. So I want to play part of this Fox News piece now from last night. We'll come back and play the rest, and then I'll go through all the bullet points. But of all the political beliefs this guy supposedly had, and he could have been a lone nut who they allowed to attack, they could have missed the warnings, it could be real, but all the evidence points towards this being staged. And I told you, this is the political season for this, as distrust of the government and an awakening of the American people exponentially grows. They need a way to demonize these ideas, to then say, oh my gosh, these people are dangerous. Just like the internal Homeland Security MIAC reports we got last year from law enforcement that then made national news showed, the number one enemy of government, of Homeland Security, is conservatives, libertarians, gun owners in the fetters. And they teach the military and police that we're terrorists that want to kill them. They want their security forces mistrusting us, so they will abuse us and spy on us. And notice who's getting attacked, the IRS, the military. Clearly the targets that the government in its own documents says they like to target to then get them to hate the American people. So here is Geraldo Rivera with his hit piece.
Coming up, the Pentagon shooter was one of those conspiracy theorists who believes 9/11 was an inside job. What will that mean to that movement?
Judge the success of their actions through public opinion, which can be manipulated in very effective ways, creating irresistible incentives for governments to use deception as a standard operating procedure. One of the greatest problems facing humanity today is the deliberate creation of conflict in order to extend the control of a tiny elite who seek to rule the world from the shadows.
Once a star student at San Jose State, 36-year-old John Patrick Bedell, the man who opened fire in front of the Pentagon last week, was a manic depressive pothead fascinated with conspiracy theories involving 9/11. We still don't know why he shot the two Pentagon guards before being shot.
So, also, they're saying pot makes you kill people now. It's like reefer madness when every study shows it with the average person, it makes them less violent. Turns out this guy was on psychiatric drugs. The insert for the Prozac family of drugs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, says it causes psychotic breaks, violence, suicide, mania. I mean, how many of the mass shooters, in every case, I've never seen a big case where they weren't on these drugs. But they're not blaming it on the drugs. No, he may on some message boards have questioned 9/11. And they played audio of him talking about, supposedly Bedell talking about this stuff. Now Geraldo, after demonizing it, after introducing it, cuts to me and says, does this discredit your movement? Well, so if somebody who's a Dallas Cowboys fan does something violent, does that discredit the Dallas Cowboys? Or when post office workers go crazy sometimes and kill people because they are veterans who may be unstable from post-traumatic stress disorder, does that demonize the whole military? I mean, if somebody's a Republican or a Democrat and commits a crime, see, no, this is about demonization. So I guess, depending on the poll, more than half the American people are now terrorists. Because if you believe in conspiracy theories, that means questioning anything the government says or does. Or if you question 9/11, like six of the ten commissioners, you're bad. Continue.
killed himself, but we do note that a blog connected to him suggests a criminal enterprise run out of the government could have staged the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. And that connection to the so-called 9/11 truthers is making their movement seem even more like a part of the lunatic fringe. But is that fair? Joining Kimberly and me from Austin, Texas, the same town, incidentally, where a tax protester recently crashed his plane into the IRS building, is radio host and a leader of the 9/11 was an inside job movement, Alex Jones. Alex, welcome.
Hit pause. The Tea Party. So, I'm in Austin, and actually the London Guardian wrote an article saying Alex Jones is the cause of all this. Alex Jones, in fact, print me that London Guardian story. Just Alex Jones, London Guardian. I was actually in the headline. I think it's Austin, Texas, Center of Conspiracy. They said I caused all this, and that I'm causing a mass psychosis worldwide. Boy, I'm pretty powerful. No, the government lying is causing people not to trust him. So just pure demonization. We'll come back with my response on the other side. This is the message. This is the programming that's going on. And within hours of the attack, the Austin American-Statesman, New York Daily News, and scores of other publications attacked Alex Jones. And it's just as asinine as within hours Bill Clinton blaming Rush Limbaugh for the Oklahoma City bombing. What is it that I'm saying that scares them so bad? Just 2 weeks ago, I was playing from the Sunday show, I was playing clips of Michael Savage. In fact, cue that up for the next hour, where Savage was saying Obama's going to stage terror attacks to blame it on conservatives in America. I mean, he gets it. I was telling you 2 weeks ago on this show, look out, they're going to do it. Look out. And I was telling you a month ago, I was telling you, and again, I'm not saying, oh, look how smart I am. I'm not that smart. I've learned how these people operate. Let's go back to Geraldo Rivera and his demonization.
And that connection to the so-called 9/11 truthers is making their movement seem even more like a part of the lunatic fringe. But is that fair? Joining Kimberly and me from Austin, Texas, the same town, incidentally, where a tax protester recently crashed his plane into the IRS building, is radio host and a leader of the 9/11 was an inside job movement, Alex Jones. Alex, welcome. The Tea Party people shook off that IRS plane crash incident after a couple of days. Do you think you'll be similarly successful, or will Bedell's misdeeds stick to the 9/11 truther people?
Well, the plane crash guy had been a Democrat and was angry at the government, and this Bedell guy, I mean, look, he had hundreds of different beliefs, and some national polls show half of Americans, six of the 10 9/11 commissioners, question the official story. There's a wide spectrum of different debates. 9/11 truth, most people just question the official story, prior knowledge, and other issues. But the bigger question here is, why within 1 hour was national news reporting that the Pentagon shooter was a 9/11 truther? I mean, why is there such a vitriol by the establishment against 9/11 truth? I mean, right here I have ABC News. U.S. military wanted to provoke war with Cuba. U.S. military drafted plans to terrorize U.S. cities, stage terror attacks. We know the Gulf of Tonkin was staged. So we know that governments allow attacks to happen. We know that governments sometimes actually stage attacks. We know that the underwear bomber on Christmas Day, the State Department admits they were ordered by U.S. intelligence to let him on the plane, help him get on the plane. So in a lot of cases, they open the door. That's what 9/11 truth is saying, is that this is being used to demonize us. So we don't know what the truth is about this guy. I mean, he was into marijuana.
Let's bring Kimberly into the discussion. The guy was into pot, and he was a manic depressive. Is Alex overreacting, or is the 9/11 connection relevant?
Right. I think it's an overreaction, but also you're making some very serious allegations against the U.S. government, saying that they stage attacks, they allow them to occur in the United States against U.S.
citizens.
What evidence do you have to support any of that?
Well, Gulf of Tonkin is very, very well documented. But
I mean, what are you talking about? Hold on. It's in Army field manuals to stage false flag attacks, declassified 2004. But separately, why within 1 hour were scores of newspapers and TV?
You tell us, Alice, why do you
think
shooting?
What's
they
the
were
answer?
Demonizing 9/11 truth. Why are they so scared of 9/11 truth? Why did they do that? Within 1 hour, why do they bring 9/11 truth
out?
Why do they blame... Now for radio listeners and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, I will show you U.S. Special Forces Counterinsurgency Manual. This is the manual used from as official policy for Black Ops commanders, Army captains and above, from September 20th, 94 to 2004. Foreign Internal Defense Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures for Special Forces, 2004 edition, made by U.S. Army Doctrine Policy on 20 September 1994, 219 printed pages. And here's another Army manual as well from 76 saying the same thing. And the document, which is official U.S. Special Forces policy, directly advocates training paramilitaries, pervasive surveillance, censorship, press control, restrictions on labor unions, political parties, suspending habeas corpus, warrantless searches, detainment without charge, bribery, employing terrorists, false flag operations, it describes how to do it, concealing human rights abuses in journalists, and extensive use of psychological operations, propaganda to make these and other populations and rescue control measures, resource control measures palatable. So they sell the police state by staging terror attacks. And I just read to you ABC News, U.S. government plans to bomb U.S. cities and stage fake shootings, grazings at the Pentagon. They were grazed. So she's saying this is, you know, these are some incredible allegations you're making here. I was reading out of the Detroit News where the State Department said they were ordered to let him on the plane and had a government person lead him onto the plane without passport. I was reading Operation Northwoods from ABC News. I was covering Gulf of Tonkin that any senior in high school should know was a staged event. That's been admitted for years. And she just says it's outrageous, but Geraldo says, no, actually, that's true, because he knows that his audience may be intelligent and will understand that's a lie. Let's continue on with this.
The plane crash with Joe Stack on the Tea Parties.
Alex, wait a second. Government. Back up a second and just take a deep breath. Why would he attack the Pentagon? What aspect of his life would make him manifest it with that kind of violence against the Defense Department establishment? Why? Why there?
Here's,
why not
here's
the
Fox
Health and Human Services Department?
Let me tell you. Here's Fox News. Here's Fox News. His parents, 2 weeks before, warned the government nothing was done. Same thing with the Fort Hood shooter. Same thing with the underwear bomber. I mean, the guy was obviously a complete lunatic. I mean, look at video of the guy. He looks like he's a nut from Central Casting. He obviously had millions of screws loose here. Okay? I mean, maybe he was a lone nut. Maybe he was. The point is to try to, within 1 hour, demonize 9/11 truth. This stinks to high heaven. That's what we cover at InfoWars.com, Geraldo, and I'm glad you covered this.
Okay, Alex, we'll continue to stay in touch. Kimberly, thank you. See you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
That's it for us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you hopefully tomorrow night, too. Good night.
Okay, we're going to come back in the next hour, open the phones up, continue discussing this, go over more points. Some key information I haven't gotten to yet. They had a drill of a similar attack the week before this. I'll explain why they always use drills to cover up their real operations. Also, Adam Gadon, the grandson of an ADL board member who's been caught putting out fake Al-Qaeda videos, has put out a support video for all this to make it look like Al-Qaeda's real on a CIA creation. And, oh, my gosh, the 9/11 truthers, they work for Al-Qaeda. And, of course, they've been caught at the Intel Center uploading Al-Qaeda videos in the same video layer with their logo as the Al-Qaeda video, showing that they're producing these videos. And Wired Magazine has reported on that. We'll be back with the second hour. You don't want to miss this information.
Sort of bad for us, I guess. Education, little jails, no bail. Little kids set sail for combat. Come back and chase tales of Katrina gun tales. those soldiers got shookin'. Hey, good looking. Here's what your boss got cooking. Barack H. Bush 3, new star, same drama. Coming for your guns. Better get some armor. Better get some knowledge. They won't teach you in college with a gynecologic garbage. You can finally acknowledge self-defense, common sense, the recession. Got you stressing, home invasion situation, call waiting. Got you guessing, cops solve crimes. They don't stop them. You got a cop, what you got to drop, drop them. You gotta stop what you thought about robbing. You got a gun, then a robber. Got a problem, we got a problem. The government's full of robbers. We gotta solve it, raising hell with our revolvers. Take them away, that'll solve all their problems. They'll treat us like Hitler, Mao, and Joseph Stalin. What you gonna do? They're coming for your guns, guns. It's a... What you gonna do? They're coming for your guns, guns.
You know, the one thing the government fears is an armed citizenry that's ready to rebel. Or else they wouldn't be so darn concerned about gun control.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. You are listening to CKLN 88.1, CKLN.fm online, Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on the 8th of March, 2010. You heard the Alex Jones radio show from yesterday, Sunday, the 7th of March, 2010, at Infowars.com, streaming pretty much 7 days a week. He's on every day but Saturday. And Mr. Jones does a great job in 4 hours a day of figuring out how to break all of this down, including the attacks on 9/11 Truth. For those of you folks out there who don't know, 9/11 was an inside job. Definitely look into that more. Look for films like 9/11 Mysteries Part 1 Demolitions that focuses exclusively on the aspects of the Twin Towers that show they were demolished by explosives as opposed to by planes hitting them and jet fuel. Look at Building 7, the third building to fall that day. Everyone focuses on the Twin Towers, but people do often forget about Building 7, the third building that day. Tons and tons of crazy questions around 9/11, thousands of smoking guns. Paul Thompson's The Terror Timeline, back in 2005. Was the blueprints for the 9/11 Truth Movement to a large degree, because it had 5,000 mainstream news stories that contradicted the official story. Just random things. Bin Laden received kidney treatment at a hospital in Dubai before the attacks. The presidential daily briefing from August of 2001 that said Bin Laden determined to strike in the United States, and yet no appropriate action was taken. And the reason is, of course, that 9/11 was an inside job. It's something that was called for by the globalist powers that be, evil, to kick off the new era of change. And yet, you know, people will say, like, for instance, here on this radio show, here on Rude Awakening Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, before the Vancouver Olympics and during the Vancouver Olympics, but especially before, I was warning of the possibility of a false flag attack. Used a great article from deprogram.net, deprogram.net, to break down sort of 18 and eventually 30-something potential clues as with respect to a false flag attack taking place during the Vancouver Winter Olympics, and it didn't happen. It did not happen. So, does that make me a fool, a liar, a worrywart, the boy who cried wolf? Or is there a deeper story? And I'll say this much. For those of us who know about the history of false flag terrorism and what governments do and how it takes the right conditions to stage a terror attack, namely tons of security on hand to lock down the area, plans in place that are executed, basically a drill, as Webster Griffin Tarpley has spoken about so well at tarpley.net, tarpley.net. You can check the latest from Mr. Webster Tarpley, a gentleman I respect very much, who I had a chance to interview once a couple years ago. Very, very brilliant man. They always use drills to stage attacks, and then they just flip a drill live, and they often plan for these attacks by staging drills just to see you know, how the bureaucracy would react. Okay, if this really did happen, that's what they do. So, you know, we can prepare for that, make sure these people aren't on the job, or we put these restrictions in place, or we say, you know, you get two guys working at a computer panel, you know, inside a NORAD. You know, one guy sees some blips on a screen, on his buddy's screen, and goes, hey, what are those? And the guy who's in on it goes, it's above your classification level at this particular time for this particular operation, so you don't need to know that. It's above your pay grade. Don't bother me about it. There's something going on that you weren't told about, so you probably shouldn't be. And so certain people, certain moles in the government can allow these attacks to take place, can allow patsies to go unmolested, even when they're stirring up enough trouble to alert local authorities or the FBI's attention. You know, somebody comes down from upon high and says, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone. There were plenty of warnings about the 9/11 patsies, warnings about the recent underwear bomber patsy, who was led on the plane by a big Indian man, according to a lawyer named Kirk Haskell, and other witnesses. And it's been confirmed since, as Mr. Jones mentioned in the Detroit News. So the underwear bomber was also another staged event because they wanted to sell us naked body scanners. So why do we have to expose all this? Because it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, folks. That's the plan of the powers that be evil. Let's do a little scan of Infowars.com here. Al-Qaeda video calling for attacks on U.S. arrives days after Pentagon shooting, from Kurt Nimmo at Infowars.com. According to the corporate media, John Patrick Bedell, and he was the 9/11 alleged fan of 9/11 Truth, who was a shooter at the Pentagon, was not only inspired by the 9/11 Truth movement and Ludwig von Mises Institute, that's an economic institute Ron Paul's part of, former presidential candidate and congressman from Texas, he was also motivated by the Fort Hood attack. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports investigators are confident that Bedell acted alone, and there is no indication he was connected to any terrorist organizations or under any terrorist influences. That said, police were keeping an open mind and looking into the possibility that Bell may have been inspired by the Fort Hood attack, CBS News reports on March 5th. So, doing things that could inspire people. If they demonize 9/11 Truth, and then they say that people attack things based on 9/11 Truth, then anything to do with 9/11 Truth is going to get you in trouble. If you're out there promoting it on the street and saying, guys, you know, we got to pay attention to this stuff. Yes, it was 8.5 years ago, but that means it's on you to look at it. It's not on me to stop. It's on you to take a look at what the hell we're yelling about. Because at this point, you know, it's getting kind of silly. And if you try and do that, and people have it in their heads that people who believe in that stuff are inclined to commit violence or inclined to inspire others to commit violence, then their reaction to your efforts is going to be muted, to say the least, and paranoid, and possibly even call a cop on you, to say the worst. So that's where it's going here, slowly but surely, actually quickly but surely, but to most people slowly but surely, but in reality, they are flying through the latter stages of their plan, the New World Order, the central banking cabal, the historical families that have basically run the world for the last few hundred years, colonial powers that be evil, centrally controlled through London and New York. London for the politics, New York for the economics, and Washington for the military. Those are sort of three of the main arms. And then it gets into the Jesuits and the Vatican and all sorts of other theories. But I like to stick to the stuff that we have on paper, stuff in Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope. And Carol Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University at law school. And he was a guy who was an insider at the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, big think tank of about 3,000 in New York, the top business and political elite, who basically decide the agenda. For example, here on my little memory stick, I thought it'd be kind of fun today to take a look at some original documents that reveal, you know, how these people think. So I have here the CFR's document, Building a North American Community, from 2005, open in front of me in PDF, and you can get this. Sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations with the Canadian Council of Chief Executives and the Consejo Mexicano de Asuntos Internacionales. It's basically their big rich guy think tank. And it says here in bold, the council takes no institutional position on policy issues and has no affiliation with the U.S. government. All statements of fact and expressions of opinion contained in its publication are the sole responsibility of the author or authors. There's a great big disclaimer. And yet it says here, founded in 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations is an independent national membership organization, nonpartisan center for scholars, dedicated to producing and disseminating ideas that individual and corporate members, as well as policymakers, journalists, students, and interested citizens of the United States and other countries, can better understand the world and the foreign policy choices facing the United States and other governments. So they're basically recommending choices for governments. And these are think tanks of the top business and political elite and entertainment elite. And Angelina Jolie is a member of the CFR. Great article on that a couple of years ago. Not exactly sure why. I know you folks out there might be fans of Angie, but it's hard to know with respect to these people how either they're being used by the media to send us certain messages or how they themselves are involved and active participants. I'm looking at the Join the Movement ads out there for Virgin Radio here on the streets of Toronto with Rihanna and Lady Gaga staring suggestively at me with crazy eye makeup on and posters saying Join the Movement. So much like this Dockers Jean ad, co-opting our natural sense of rebellion in a crisis-ridden 2010 and what appears to be we're heading towards a crisis-ridden future. There is going to be more and more of these things. Join the movement. The H1N1 flu campaign had joined the resistance recently and so on. So definitely keep an eye out for that as your natural instincts to do something to challenge the powers that be evil are co-opted into false choices, as it were. But the people that do define our choices include the Council on Foreign Relations, looking at a massive list of their membership here, and flying through the document a bit just to break down what this is. So this is from the foreword. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that this document from the Council on Foreign Relations in 2005 is known as the blueprint for the North American Union. You can find more info at spp.gov. The Obama administration has put a little disclaimer on the front of that page last I checked, saying, we've moved on from this. But they haven't reversed any of the changes. They're still going through at the local level. NAFTA superhighways are still being built. Money's still being spent on them, according to people like Texas Congressman Ron Paul and others in legislatures and so on. Gary Doer, the premier of the Manitoba legislature, or the speaker of the Manitoba legislature, rather, did mention that there would be North American Union-style changes a couple years ago. A great film called The Nation's Deathbed by filmmakers Steve Davies and Dan Dix at pressfortruth.ca to check out to catch more on the North American Union and the merger of Canada, America, and Mexico into a European Union-style continentally integrated political, economic, and social body without the permission of the citizens who live therein. That includes us. I know I personally did some videos, streeters on this, did about 40, 50 of them on the streets of Toronto in the summer of 2007, where I took some proof, I photocopied some stuff, and I just kind of printed it off the internet and said, hey, take a look at this. And this is the SPP website. This is the Canadian version. These are some newspaper articles about it. These are some legal changes as a result of it. And what do you think? And they kind of went, okay, took a brief look and went, well, you're probably serious. And no, I don't like this. And 90% of Canadians were against this idea, whereas 10% had what I like to call fantasies about this. And that's the interesting thing. Conspiracy theorists are accused of making stuff up. And yet I found that conspiracy theorists usually at least look at something. Whereas most people out there, tend to make things up to a far greater degree than conspiracy theorists. Because I would say to people, you know, why would you want a North American Union? They'd say, oh, it'd be easier to travel, one currency, don't have to switch money. And they had all these fantasies about the positive benefits of this, with no thoughts about the negative potential implications. And because that was just their worldview. And again, you can make it up, but the truth is it's now getting more difficult to travel. They're thinking of putting naked body scanners in at bus terminals. Soon they'll be at malls. Soon they'll be at schools. Soon they'll be at workplaces unless we stop it. So back to this article, just to wrap up the North American Union proof 5 years later, since this is the year it's supposed to be completed. The deal was signed in Waco, Texas, in March of 2005, on March 23rd, and it's supposed to be completed, I guess in a couple of weeks, but sometime this year anyway. So this is their plan. America's relationship with its North American neighbors rarely gets the attention it warrants. I can't believe they'd say that. This report of a council-sponsored independent task force on the future of North America. Again, they're suggesting, as a think tank, you know, the future for North America. Now, as individuals out there in North America, perhaps we should do the same. So, his intent to help address this policy gap. In the more than a decade since the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, took effect, ties among Canada, Mexico, and the United States have deepened dramatically. The value of trade within North America has more than doubled. Canada and Mexico are now the two largest exporters of oil, natural gas, and electricity to the United States. Since 9/11, we are not only one another's major commercial partners, we are joined in an effort to make North America less vulnerable to terrorist attack. And that's why I'm still on about 9/11 8 years later, too. And that's why I played the clip this morning of Mr. Jones refuting some of the critics of 9/11 truth by linking 9/11 truth to the shooter who may or may not have believed it. And again, if there's a couple of whack jobs among the million 9/11 truthers out there, it wouldn't surprise me. I've met them. And I'm sure there are others. And so, you know, the point is, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't take this on. And it doesn't mean that the media is being responsible by demonizing it. So, fast forwarding through the articles just a little bit here, the forward. The task force offers a detailed and ambitious set of proposals that build on the recommendations adopted by the three governments at the Texas Summit of March 2005. The task force's central recommendation is established by 2010 of a North American economic and security community, the boundaries of which would be defined by a common external tariff and an outer security perimeter. And this recalls the recent article in the Globe and Mail that said that American forces would be staying around after the Olympics in the coastal regions of British Columbia to help provide security. And so that's an example of the North American Union and what's happening with respect to that. So that's on the NAU. Let's flip to the CFR Global Governance Program out there. You're seeing here a ton of international labels out there. International Women's Day here at CKLN Radio, which of course I celebrate, which I have celebrated here on the radio and so on. Tons of other international business school, global business innovation, international problems, international solutions. The broader framework for this, despite the good efforts of individuals, you know, involved here and there, the broader framework for this is to create a new world order, an interdependent, internationally homogenized system under the control of a handful of people. And the CFR, again, in New York, is an arm of the Royal Institute for International Affairs in England, or Chatham House, C-H-A-T-H-A-M House, at chathamhouse.co.uk or .co.org or Chatham House. Something like that. Chatham House. Google Chatham House. Because in London, they set up the CFR in 1921 in New York. But here it says, international institutions and global governance program, world order in the 21st century, a new initiative of the Council on Foreign Relations from May 2008. It says here, the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, has launched a comprehensive five-year program on international institutions and global governance. The purpose of this cross-cutting initiative is to explore the institutional requirements for world order in the 21st century. The undertaking recognizes that the architecture of global governance, largely reflecting the world as it existed in 1945, has not kept pace with fundamental changes in the international system, including but not limited to globalization. They act like globalization is natural. What they're basically saying is the institutions haven't caught up to our global plans and our global machinations. And so there's things here like countering transnational threats, including terrorism, proliferation of weapons and mass destruction, infectious disease. So you'll get the World Health Organization declaring a level 6 pandemic for pig flu over the summer and putting out a dangerous vaccine, one that Wolfgang von Wodard, the head of the European Union's Health Council, has come out and said was a total fraud, was dangerous and was a waste of money and was overblown. And so the head of the EU's basically branch that looks into health has come out and whistleblown on the World Health Organization. Because that's what this is, folks. It's international institutions with the power to levy, well, deadly vaccines, dangerous vaccines, as you can see by the Toronto Sun cover and other stories in the recent Canadian media of people getting Guillain-Barré syndrome and other ailments. These international bodies will have the right, will have the chance to tell everybody what to do. And if you look at the way international institutions, transnational institutions, the G8, G20 countries, and other power brokers in the world have managed affairs thus far, you can certainly see why it's a bad idea to give them more power. So that's a bit on the CFR there. You can get all these documents at CFR.org. Got to bring up the CFR because they are not discussed enough, and yet they wield a tremendous amount of influence over public policy. But here on CKLN Rude Awakening on March 8th, I do have a copy of the Metro open with me. So let's take a look and let's see what they're telling us here in Toronto. Angie linked with Mick, says a new book. So apparently Angelina Jolie has something with a guy named Mick, probably Mick Jagger. But who knows? New airport terminal opens. The first phase of a new $50 million terminal at Toronto's Island Airport is now open to the public. Terminal triples Porter Island's capacity and paves the way for increased flights throughout the U.S., blah, blah, blah. So, new airport, that's great, but they are making it more difficult and irritating to travel. And as Alex Jones at Infowars.com has said, this is a beta test. The airports are a beta test for everything else. Pass the shovel. Throne speech to unveil plan to dig province out of debt. Education, financial services, clean water, and mining will form the basis of what Liberals are calling an ambitious five-year plan to dig the province out of a record deficit, which will be outlined in today's Ontario throne speech. So, how come if there's a record deficit, and there shouldn't be, you know, how the hell can this guy get credit for saying, I'm going to try and get you out of it? You know, to quote John Stewart from a couple of years ago about Bush and the war in Iraq, you know, if the last guy drove you into a ditch, you know, I'm handing the keys to an 8-year-old at that point. It's like, what did you do? You drove us into this ditch, and now you come out grandstanding like a hero saying, folks, we're in a ditch. I know you've been asleep. I know you've been watching TV, and you've been having a beer. You've been going to work. You've been paying your taxes. You've been taking care of your kids. You've been doing whatever the hell it is you do when you don't pay attention to what your government's up to. But I'm telling you now that I'm your new hero for saving you from the tragic effects of our deficit being a drag on us. So I'm going to play, though. I'm going to play an example of them selling us austerity here, environmental austerity. Since 1983, from the CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, from Alan Watt, A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T's radio show, I'm going to play just a couple minutes of this clip where he talks about a BBC program selling us austerity, selling us the value of living in slums and how environmentally sustainable it is and how good it is and how everybody gets along. And we've been sold versions of this for years as they try and preach austerity to us in this part of the world. Keep in mind, folks, the war on terror rapture takes your rights. The global warming rapture takes your stuff. This is Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com breaking down a bit of how they're convincing us to accept this crap.
The squatter cities that have emerged can teach us about much about the future urban living. So squatter cities are the teachers, right? It says, in 1983, architect Peter Calthorpe gave up on San Francisco, where he tried and failed to organize a neighborhood community. Now, communities is communitarianism. That's what George Bush Sr. first mentioned. That's to be the new way of communitarianism, a sort of blend of communist China and Western values merged together, but more towards the communist China side, with the sort of chain store type rental places and skyscrapers owned by a handful of people. It says 1 billion people live in these cities, and according to the UN, this number will double in the next 25 years. There are thousands of them, and they're mainly young populations test out new ideas unfettered by law or tradition. And they don't pay taxes either, by the way. Alleyways and squatter cities, for example, are a dense interplay of retail and services. If I find that link for the one on India, And I'll put up on my website at the end of the show if I can find it. You'll see how what they're talking about, how they all get along, etc. There's more rats. There's just as many rats as people. You'll see them all over the place. And open sewage that they step over all the time. And their water pipes go through this strange 1 million complex place. The pipes literally in the sewage troughs. So when there's a leak in the pipes, the sewage gets into your drinking water. And by the way, they only turn the water on for 2 hours per day for everyone. This is one-chair barbershops and three-seat bars interspersed with the clothes racks and fruit tables. One proposal is to use these as a model for shopping areas, allow the informal sector to take over downtown areas after 6 p.m., suggests Jamie Lerner, the former mayor of Curitiba, Brazil. This will inject life into the city. I'd say it would infect it into the city. But anyway, that's my opinion. The reversal of opinion about fast-growing cities previously considered bad news began with the challenge of slums. A 2003 United Nations Habitat report. The book's optimism, derived from its groundbreaking fieldwork, 37 case studies in slums worldwide. Instead of just compiling numbers and filtering them through theory, researchers hung out in the slums and talked to the people. They came back with an unexpected observation. Cities are so much more successful in promoting new forms of income generation, and it's so much cheaper to provide services in urban areas than some experts have actually suggested, that the only realistic poverty reduction strategy is to get as many people as possible to move to the city. It's amazing how they come out with the UN agenda, isn't it? The magic of squatter cities, if you can stand the smell of sewage everywhere and watch where you put your feet, is that they are improved steadily and gradually by their residents. To a planner's eye, these cities look chaotic. You've got to see this two-part video if you think it looks chaotic. The rats are looking for a clean bit to sit on, you know, nothing else's feces. I trained as a biologist, and to my eye, they looked organic. Well, it's certainly organic matter. It says they have maximum density, 1 million people per square mile in some areas of Mumbai, and have minimum energy and material use. People get around by foot, bicycle, rickshaw, or the universal shared taxi. By the way, Mumbai also has its own little mafia, because even there's a class structure in the shanty town. There's even a millionaire living in the middle of it who has all these sweatshops throughout it. And the little boys that you'll see in the video all work for him and sleep in the shops as well. There's no real...
And we're back, CKLM listeners. That's an example of Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 2nd of March 2010 talking about environmental austerity. So... what do we need to know in this city? Well, we are being heavily greenwashed. I do try and make this point on a regular basis here on CKLN Rude Awakening Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, because I see it. I know you see it. What I don't know is if you believe it, and what I don't know is even if you don't believe it, do your neighbors believe it? And if your neighbors do believe it, then it's time to wake them up, time to take to the streets in the warm weather. Got a bunch of friends flowering. Shout-outs to a good friend Chris at TorontoTrueSeekers.com. I remember him coming to his first street auction a few weeks ago, and now he's saving my beloved Scarborough. Shout-outs to Scarlem World, baby. Holla at your boy. Because he's going out there flyering. He's saying, hell with this. He's getting the legal rules on this. He's talking to cops, and he's saying, look, what's the deal? And he says, and the cops are basically saying, you know what, you can flyer, city employees might take him down, but nothing's illegal about that. And there's a bunch of elite laws up there. So go to TorontoTrueSeekers.com, check out our new blog, check out our new communications vehicles, check out Mumble, a new communications tool, kind of like Skype, used internationally, but it's open source, harder to track, harder to crack, and that's what we who are worried about who's going to run this town tonight do focus on. How do we understand the world we live in enough to protect ourselves and those around us? And at TorontoTrueSeekers.com, we are trying to do that. Today, fluoride campaign kicks off on the 11th of March, the 6th anniversary of the Spanish false flag bombings on 3/11, when a third to half their population launched general strikes, kept their leader from becoming a dictator, got their troops out of Iraq, and exposed their inside job. Hell of a trifecta back in 04. Sixth anniversary of that. Me and my colleagues at TorontoTrueSeekers.com are going to present every city councillor and mayor candidate and all the city councillors and the mayor with a copy of the fluoride deception and accompanying package. And for the next month or so, We're going to say, hey, guys, take a month to look at this and give back to us, you know, within a month or so. Take an hour or two to look at it. The documentary is a half an hour. The supplementals will take you an hour. And then meet with us for like an hour or so, and let's chat about it. And let's see what we can do about this. Let's see if it's systemic. Let's see if it's something that we can, you know, save tax dollars on. As far as we know about fluoride, again, the RegenesisProject.org, another great site with Claudia and cohorts and their work. We'll shout them out more on tomorrow's show. But the bottom line is that there's got to be a way when Vancouver, Montreal, and most of Europe does not use fluoride, there's got to be a way to get it out of our water supply as well here in the T.O. So we're going to be working on that at TorontoTruthSeekers.com with other groups out there. Basically, starting on Thursday and starting this week, we will build a coalition of people, have a poll, petition, and people can say, yeah, we think it's a good idea. Not that we're for or against fluoride. Not that we're going to go take some crazy stance against 8 out of 10 dentists. You know, we got to listen to the other two as well. But more specifically, that it's a good idea for our city councilors to look at information provided to them by their fellow by the citizens who they represent on issues like this when there are those issues in question. So check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com for more on that. Thunder Bay City Council just voted not to put it in their water supply when they were offered to, so there's good news. But we did kind of jump off the show with 9/11 Truth, so I'd like to flash back to May 2008, 2004, in an article called Poking Holes in the Official Story of 9/11 from the Toronto Star. And the reason I'm breaking this down here is because this showed that way back then, people in Canada, people in Toronto, people around the world knew to question 9/11. And if we knew that 6 years ago, it's something that we shouldn't forget today. And this is, again, Poking Holes in the Official Story of 9/11 by Antonio Zerbezias, May 28th, 2004, from the Toronto Star, as reprinted by CommonDreams.org. The Star article has been Orwellized since, unfortunately, as is likely to happen these days. Citizens can choose to buy the official line on the events of September 11th, 2001, or they can ask questions about holes in that story as big as the crater at Ground Zero. This week at the unlikeliest of locations, the Ukrainian Cultural Center in West End, Toronto, the International Citizen Inquiry into 9/11 picks up where it left off in San Francisco in March. That's right, Toronto held the second ever International Citizens Inquiry into 9/11 after San Francisco's. We should be proud of that way back in 04. Shoutouts to Ian Woods, Barry Zwicker, many of the great guys at SIFT, Skeptics Inquiry for Truth, who are the progenitors of the modern truth movements here in Toronto. It says, Ms. Zerbezias says here, international authors, filmmakers, academics, military intelligence experts, as well as, yes, probably the occasional conspiracy theorists, are mixing it up with ordinary people who can't accept that all the systems simply failed on one terrible and tragic morning. And it goes on here into the story, which you can find a copy of at TorontoTruthSeekers.com in the files section. The story ends with a quote from Barry Zwicker. Quote, the official story is a conspiracy theory. Osama bin Laden and his co-conspirators did it, Zwicker emphasizes. It's a brilliant narrative, but upon examination of the evidence, it crumbles into dust, just like the dust of the World Trade Towers. Copyright Toronto Star Newspapers Limited. So, again, we've known about these things for a while. Shout-outs to TorontoTruthSeekers.com, folks. PressForTruth.ca, definitely check them out. Shout-outs as well to Conspiracy Culture, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. The Toronto Needs Street News, excuse me. Toronto Street News, Victor Fletcher's great paper. 10 years of work helping to put a shiny nickel in the pockets of the homeless in this city. So do your part to help them out and do your part to get a bit more informed on these issues and share this knowledge. Hand out a flyer, make a blog, create a YouTube video, work with others to write your elected officials. Don't just do it yourself because they ignore an individual. But once you get to 500 people, you can get an MP like Libby Davies of the New Democrats to read a petition calling for a new 9/11 investigation to Parliament. And that's not a bad idea. Infowars.com for great general news. Naturalnews.com, amazing health site. Going to break down some of their recent work tomorrow on tomorrow's show. And TrendsResearch.com or InternationalForecaster.com for financial news should get you started. But right now, I'm going to play a track by Plex from New Leaf Entertainment, Canadian artist featuring Touch. Plex featuring Touch. This is Hotel Bilderberg. I think this is just a demo from New Leaf and from Plex. But it's worth noting that Canadian artists are getting out there and they are breaking down what we need to know as Canadians, so we should support them. Check out newleafentertainment.ca and check out this track from Plex. Your DJ, the people's DJ, David James with 4 Hours of Jazz, is up next.
These guys own our government. They print our money, and they own not only the government, but they own you.
There's some evils at work, and it's worse than the Brits. They keep it veiled in secrecy and ain't telling you shit. You think that this would be up on the news? Well, it isn't. No view on intractable godless communism. The world's getting crowded and they plan to thin it out. You think it's in the future? Well, you're living in it now. Started by the Rockefellers and the Dutch royal crown. Resistance is the only way to take the fuckers down. There's no vacancy at Hotel Bilderberg. You ain't on the guest list and ain't getting the password. They use technology so they can tune into your soul. We don't need no education, don't need no thought control. Don't need the prime minister telling me that he's sorry. Don't need Microsoft to make my decisions for me. It's NWO, they want control like the pharaohs. Sure, I get paid to rap, but I don't accept the marrows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Illuminati, this Illuminati, other shit. First of all, that name's sacred, I'll kill you next time you utter it. We way up in your government, cover-ups and shit. You think humans can be trusted? You puffin' a split, oblivious. There's always been kings and queens. Now we control the bond market with your retirement dreams. Everything ain't what it seems, genetically modified seeds, greed. It's all good, we in it together. I concede, interbreed with the elite. My symbol all over the street. We communicate loud and don't speak, you a sheep. Livestock a slave, human resources, we produce more. More shit, you consume more shit. Inhuman war, false flag operations of gloom and horror for the good of the few. Fuck the poor. They destabilizing the planet, taking food out my mouth, goddammit. We got Michael, now we coming for Janet. Metallically finger fuck the earth till it comes oil on my face. You a .com, I'm General Electric. Close the case. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. You in jail, nigga. We got all three.
When you've got organization